Back when we were preparing for the men's conference, I prayed about who should speak, and I really felt led to ask Joey Kohler to speak at the men's conference just to tell his story. And he wasn't able to do that because he'd already committed to be in a wedding out of town. And so I just kind of wondered about that. I was convinced that I had the right guy, and the timing was off. Well, you may remember not long after that, Jeremy asked Joey to tell part of his story when we did our outdoor worship time together, and he did a great job there. But even there, he had limited time, and because of the nature of that service, he was kind of locked into one topic about recovery. And I just had a sense that there was still more to hear from Joey, so I asked Joey to come and share part of his story with us this morning. And this has been a challenge for Joey, but I want you to prayerfully receive him, hear his story, and remember the reason we're doing this is not to tell Joey he's a great guy, but we're going to hear Joey's story so that we can give God the glory for what he's done in and through Joey. Come and talk to us, Joey. We want to hear you.
I'm going to ask y'all to bear with me as I get through this. Last week, not sure if you remember, but I know Dr. Crowder was up here, and he said there were three people who were really wanting to give their testimony, and I was sitting right here thinking, two. So it's not that public speaking bothers me in any way. It's just doing this. I go through a Rolodex of memories. It's hard from growing up here in West, through serving in the military all the way through kind of what we've done post-explosion. Like many of you here, I've had my successes and failures. I've had my highest of highs. I've had my lowest of lows. I've had my triumphs and my tribulations. No matter how great or difficult things have been, I know one thing has never changed, and that has always been God has been there with me. Jesus Christ has been there with us. I see my testimony as one of perseverance and transformation. My name is Joey Kohler, and this is my story. As I stated a little over a month ago, I was blessed with some supportive, loving parents, an older brother I looked up to, a younger sister who I picked on, some incredible grandparents, a number of aunts, uncles, and cousins. I was also blessed to be raised on North Reagan Street and had what I would consider to be one of the best childhoods ever. I was part of the RSP, the Reagan Street Posse, and for those of you who don't know, everybody on the north side of town, from Still Meadow to North Davis Street to Jane Lane to Grady Calvary, even Northridge Circle, we were all basically family. You know, I remember growing up, even Brother Crotto was out there running around with us terrorizing neighborhood. Just kidding. But some of the best things about growing up is, one, everybody we grew up with had Christian values and was family-oriented and was in church. And two, it seemed like we were all family. So from the Paynes, the Pushoskis, to the Mailers, to the Garricks, to the Griffins, to the Hardwicks, to the Zaherniaks, I could go on and on and on with the number of families up there. We were all family, and little did we know that through our Christian foundations and the bonds that we formed, would we be able to get through some of the toughest times of our lives together. As I got older, I became involved with sports, particularly baseball. I was given opportunities that, looking back now, even I am speechless. I played on successful high school teams, go Trojans. I played on college teams, and I traveled all over, playing in places like Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Florida, even Australia. Yes, Australia. In the fall of 1999, I was invited by an Arizona Diamondback scout to travel abroad to a different continent and get the opportunity to spend the millennium change at the Sydney Harbor Bridge. I mean, how many people actually have that opportunity to do something like that? Rusty, I'm sorry, but of all the fireworks shows I've ever been to, this one's the only one that's right there with yours on July 4th celebration. So God's gift to play baseball truly was a blessing, and it gave me some incredible memories. I was able to visit so many places, playing big games, and had experiences that most would only dream of. I would not change anything I did, as it helped mold me into who I become today. But looking back, I wish I was a little bit more respectful and appreciative of what I had. See, had I shown a little humility when I was in college, I may not have been as devastated when I had my shoulder surgery. Imagine having something that you're good at taken away in the blink of an eye. It took me 2 years to teach myself how to throw a baseball again. Instead of turning to the cross, I gave myself a pity party. I threw gasoline on the fire. I let outside distractions get the best of me. I began to make a number of horrible decisions, and I lived what so many would call the so-called student-athlete life. It was so bad that the woman I would marry didn't want anything to do with me in college. I did things out of selfish impulse rather than give God glory. After college, I decided to enlist in the United States Marine Corps with the intent to becoming an officer. Personally, I am more grateful to have served than anything I accomplished, any accolades that were gained or obtained in sports. This is not to say my experiences were great by any means, because trust me, there were some serious struggles. But finally, I understood life was not just about me. I learned how to serve others rather than to serve myself. When you take a look at it and you understand that the person to your left and to your right, your life is actually in their hands and their lives in your hands, you get a different perspective of life. It helps you understand that you cannot and you do not control what's going to happen. While serving, I was stationed in places like San Diego MCRD, which is the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in Southern California, Camp Pendleton, and 29 Palms, both in California. I was able to go to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, Guernsey, Wyoming, Naval Air Station Joint Reserve Base up in Fort Worth. I got to see Kuwait, Germany, and a few other locations while in transit. And I went on two deployments, first one to Habaniya, which was halfway between Rabadi and Fallujah in Iraq, and a second shorter one in Morocco, Africa. When I was first released from active duty, Rose and I had been dated for roughly 2 months. It was awesome. We both came from Christian foundations, had common interests, and everything seemed to just go so well with her. Life was easy. After some time of dating, we would realize that we would face one of the most difficult hurdles coming our way. And that was, I was notified of my deployment. Not wanting to miss out on the girl in my dreams, I disobeyed protocol, broke the law, traveled from San Diego to Texas, and before you knew it, Rose and I were getting married in Las Vegas. That's a completely different story of its own, so. Our first year of marriage was a tough one. Imagine being halfway around the world away from your significant other. Even better, imagine limited communication, not knowing what was going on back at home while you're trying to stay focused on what you had to do. I would wake up, do my job, pray. Pray for a day without casualties, that we all remained safe, and that things were going to be fine back home no matter what happened. No matter how tough things became, I knew she was in great hands, as she was living with my parents at the time and had a strong support system. This was a true test of the strength of our marriage and faith towards one another, and we made it. We didn't make it because we were strong, loving, dedicated, or trusting, but we made it because we had a rock of a foundation, and that was Jesus Christ. That was the difference with our relationship and so many others that I served with. Once I returned home, she and I, we were remarried in the St. Mary's Church. It was Rose, myself, and Christ. We were going to church every Wednesday night with my grandfather, and then attending Saturday night or Sunday services. Things just seemed to be going so well, and before long, we were blessed with a beautiful, healthy baby, Cadence J. Kohler. This was one of the best days of my life, and I can still remember holding her for the first time. After she was born, things began to change, and what I thought was important became insignificant, and what became most important to me was faith and family. You see, when I was deployed to Iraq, it was stressful, but it was just Rose and I. I knew if something happened to me that she would be okay. But now I have a child of my own. I've become fully aware that it was not about me or what I wanted. At that time, Rose was working in the mortgage department with Wells Fargo, and so I figured, you know what, that's what I wanted to do. And so February 2012, I became a licensed mortgage originator. You know, earlier I stated that I had a deployment to Morocco. That deployment was supposed to be a month-long training mission that took place right after getting into the mortgage industry in April of 2012. That's when I had my first true come-to-Jesus experience, and when my visions began to change. We left April 1st from Fort Worth and flew roughly 10 hours to Agadir, Morocco. And from there, we were spread throughout just doing a simple training mission with the Moroccan military. I knew Rose would have no idea what an osprey was. So I told her I was going to go fly in a helicopter or a plane. And I sent this to her via email. Little did I know, as I was getting geared up to go out on that osprey, disaster would strike. The wind caught the tail end of that osprey and sent it in a nosedive from 70 meters. At the time, I worked to set up the triage for the medics, and I'll never forget when Captain Cole stuck his head out of the tent that we had set up and said, "Hey, Sergeant Kohler, I need you to run and tell Commander Reed casualty numbers. Two have expired." You know, going through my head, I'm sitting there needing to do my job. I do what I have to do, but deep down I'm sitting there thinking, I just sent an email to Rose, and the only way she's going to know is by hearing about it on the news. So sure enough, I went, I did my job, and fortunately she called the American Red Cross, and I was okay with that event. The next day, it hit me. Here we are, literally in the middle of nowhere. We've got a bird down. Two young Marine corporals lost their lives, and these visions forever engraved in my mind. Now, being in the Marines, you have to expect this at any time, as it's the nature of what we did. It was the next part that hit me like a ton of bricks whenever we were getting debriefed by the chaplain. He comes in, and we start learning more and more about the guys that we served with. And for those of you who have served, you know it's like a brotherhood. For those of you who haven't, there's a bond that you can't explain. We had just lost Corporal Reyes, who was 25 with a three-year-old, and then we lost Corporal Kearns, who was 21 with a newborn baby. What hit me the most was I'm sitting here going through the debriefing process thinking, I've got an 11-month-old baby girl back at home. That's when it really became real. That's when I knew life was different. When this deployment was over, I was never so happy to be home. I thought I was going to be welcomed home, especially from Cadence. And I remember walking in the door, I opened up my arms. She made a beeline the other way. It broke my heart, but at the same time, I took that as a sign that this was not what Jesus Christ wanted me to do. Being in the Marine Corps was not my calling. And so soon after that, I would accept my honorable discharge. For our family, we continued on. After a few days, Cadence finally warmed up to me, and I understood, and she understood that I did belong at home. At that point, I began focusing in on the mortgage industry, working with Rose, trying to be a family man, and continuing to grow in my faith. Little did we know that right after Cadence turned one, we would find out that we would soon be blessed again with another baby. Here we are, end of February, beginning of March in 2013. A family of three getting ready to welcome in our baby boy. We were on the highest of highs with the eager anticipation of Sebastian Blake arriving. It was around this time that I had a conversation and a commitment to a friend that would forever change my life. I was at my parents' house on North Reagan Street in the backyard, and Joey Pushosky saw me, and he walks over. And we were sitting there talking. Joey and I were the same age, went to school together, went to church together, grew up with each other, lived next to each other since May of 88. The good old RSP. During our conversation, he began to talk about Jesus. He had asked me if I had ever been on an axe retreat, which is put on by the St. Mary's Church, and I told him I'd have been asked by a number of folks, but I'd never gone. Even his father had asked me, and it never worked out right. He asked me to go up on that upcoming one that happened in April of 2013, to which I replied, and I quote, "We're going to have a baby boy coming any day now, and I don't think it'd be a good idea for my wife to be at home with a newborn and an almost two-year-old, so I'm not going to go on this one, but I promise you I'll be on the next one." He said okay, and that was the last conversation he and I ever had. Little did we know, not long after, things would change because of a newborn baby boy, and we were so grateful for that. And then the events of April would soon follow. As we began returning into the Zone 3 area, I knew the neighbors that I lived next to all my life needed help. Most of them lost houses, their belongings, their stuff. Even more so, the one next door lost something irreplaceable, and that was his son. I let them know that I would do anything I could in whatever capacity to help. All they had to do was let me know. Soon, demolitions of the homes and the foundations actually began, and we're sitting outside watching the foundations being chiseled away. This was the first time that Joe Pushowski had made the mention of Parker's idea. And I told him, I was all in. You let us know. Whatever you're going to do, let's make it happen. In June 28th of 2013, we had an RSP reunion where all the families that grew up there got together, and Parker's Park Project became a reality. While all this was going on, something that Rose and I have not shared with many people is upon her returning from the maternity leave around the same time, we were going to find out that Rose would soon be laid off from her current job. Here we are, a newborn baby, 2-year-old daughter, just gone through the events of April. I'm spending the majority of my time focusing in on our rebuilding efforts, not worrying about what I was doing to provide for our family, and we were told half our income would no longer exist. I felt like having a major breakdown. I really think that I went a full week and a half without eating, which I was already accustomed to doing anyway. I was broken. I was completely broken. Not that I'm much better now, but let me tell you, I was struggling. I kept thinking, how can this happen? Why can all this happen? How can anyone let this happen? Everybody I knew lost their homes. I lost faith in the company I was working for and doing what I was doing. Half the people needed help. They weren't getting help. Didn't want to do my job. I was at my lowest of lows. And this is where my transformation started. I went back to my Rolodex of memories, and I continued to go back to my last conversation that I had with Joey. I knew I made a commitment to him, and I was not one to let anybody down. After all, as a Marine, you live by the credo, honor, courage, and commitment, and I was going to fulfill that commitment. I held that promise, and it was the best thing I ever did. Around the time we began the Parker's Park project process, I told Joe P. about the commitment that I had made to his son. I told him that I was going to follow through no matter what. Come high wind, hell, water, you name it, I was there. He gave me the paperwork that was needed. I signed up for the retreat. And as Parker's Park project continued evolving, I continued to pay attention to the outside things that were happening. Joe and Carol were so strong in their faith after what they had just gone through, and I fed off of that. Not only did I feed off of that, but I saw the significance of what we were doing and helping the community in the real rebuilding process. I mean, who raises $83,000 off a hot dog fundraiser? And you know, with the 83, there came a big significance with that. You see, Joey was born on 8-3 of 83. And for us to raise $83,000, that simply to me was not a coincidence. That was Jesus and Joey saying that we're with you right now. We're going to see this through. We're going to get our community back. You know, it was around this time, too, that I began looking for a different career path. And little did I know that just the conversation with a local real estate agent would change my life forever. It also led me to a new career where my current manager is also a minister. You couldn't have planned that any better. It wasn't my plans, I guarantee you that one. Rose and I knew that this was going to be the place for me to go on October 17th of 2013. I made that change, and I fulfilled my commitment of going on the Acts retreat. After attending the Acts retreat, I had a feeling that everything we faced, or I had a sense of hope again. I had that feeling that everything we faced, we were going to be okay and overcome it with Jesus Christ. A lot of you will see that I wear this bracelet around my wrist. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I had burdens. I had angers, frustrations, sorrows. Finally, I could let go of it all. And at that point, it still wasn't easy. You see, Rose and I, we were still not out of our valley yet together, which ended up being more of like the Grand Canyon. At the time, she had found a job making less money than what we were paying for daycare. We had a house that was falling apart. We had to trade in our reliable vehicles to get ones that could just get us to and from that had major issues. We even got down to our last $300 in our savings through all checking, savings, retirements, CDs, you name it. But at this time, I had a sense of hope. I knew that we were going to be okay. If you ask me what my favorite verse is, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. I look back at that. We had no idea the path that we were on or what tomorrow held. We know who holds tomorrow, though. We have healthy kids who are eager to learn about Jesus Christ. At this time, Rose went. She applied for a new position as the West High School's assistant principal assistant. From there, who knew that she would run into Michelle Scott and she would get a job teaching with Lisa Crowder? Things just seemed to fall in place. We were informed that the house that we were in was going to be torn down and rebuilt. We were able to purchase newer vehicles that were able to get us from place to place. The company that I work for, I now have all the faith in, because every single morning that I'm at work, we are allowed to openly pray together, and we do it. Whether it's by a conference call, we do it together. I've been extremely blessed with what I've been doing over the last couple of years, and now it's to the point that Rose was able to finish teaching this past week, and she will actually be able to join me as an assistant coming up in the next month. Even more, we have Christ in our home. We have family. We have friends. We have a community and a church family that loves and supports us no matter what. When I look back, I see one set of footprints in the sand, and now I know that they are not mine. Through all the anger, the joy, the frustration, the sorrows, the uncertainty, the doubt, the memories, the scars, being broken, the sin, I now know it was Jesus Christ carrying me closer to Him every day.